world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Don't even think about moving your parents in with you until you listen to this week's episode. Plus, can our current sleep patterns really determine our future dementia risks?
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. I got an email this week from Ruth from Derby, England, and she was telling me that her mom is about 2 hours away from her, and last time she visited her, her mom really wasn't taking care of herself. You know, she is overweight, and she's a diabetic, and she kind of just sits in a recliner and eats cookies. And she said, you know, her neighbors try to help, because she's lived there for forever, and she's, you know, they do her shopping for her, and they help with whatever she needs, taking her to the doctor, etc. But she said, you know, she noticed she's just sitting and she's not doing anything. She's sleeping now in the recliner. She's not even, you know, getting in her bed, doing laundry, changing the sheets, any of that. So, you know, she said, I don't know what to do. I was there and my husband and I were there, and I'm thinking, she can't be here alone, she said. And it just blurted out of my mouth, well, maybe you should come live with us, she said. And I saw my mom's eyes light up, and then she looked at me, she said, and she must have saw my face or in my husband's face, because she said, I just blurted it out, and I don't know if I really meant that or not, she said. And now I feel terrible. And, you know, she said my mom probably kind of realized that and just said, well, you know, that's something we'll talk about, she said. And then, you know, I got in the car with my husband, and he looked at me and said, are you crazy? You know, and she said, it just came out. And she said, and I'm worried about her, you know, because I don't know what to do. So that was an option. And, you know, that's a concern. It's definitely a concern for all of us. And you know, I think many of us, our first instinctive response is to move mom in with us, so you're not alone, and it can just blurt out because it's your mom, it's your mother. So, you know, don't feel bad about that. And your mom probably will decide not to do that. You know, you really have to think about it, and she has to think about it. It's a very generous thought, but it's not always the best option. Sometimes it can really be a huge mistake. The only time I've really seen a parent or parents moving in with an already established family is if they have their own separate quarters, their own separate, you know, living room, kitchen, entrance. And it's not to be mean. It's not to say people can't live together. You know, years ago we had extended families, but we don't have that anymore. We don't do that anymore. We're not used to that. And there's a lot to consider. So I just wanted to give you some things to consider that you might not think about. First thing is, you don't want to take someone and move them, and then, you know, after a week you're like, oh my God, help, this isn't working out. So we all get along when people come to visit. You know, okay, they're just staying overnight, or they're just staying the weekend, so you know they're going home. So the first thing you have to think about, of course, is your spouse and your children. You know, what about the rest of the family? There's few homes that are completely free of stress. So is this moving mom in going to increase the stress? You know, you have to look at your spouse and your children and ask them. The second thing is, do you have the room? You don't want to displace your children. You know, it's different if you don't have a spare room and, you know, your son maybe has to go sleep in the study, you know, for one night. But you don't want to displace your children because it's not going to work for any period of time. What about, you know, do you have the space? Are you ready to modify your house? Are you ready to change it? You know, if you say, well, it'll work out. We have tight living quarters, but we'll do it. We'll work out. You know, that isn't going to work in a tight, people don't have privacy, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and you may not think about that, you know, initially. If your extra bedroom, for instance, is upstairs, can your mom get up and down the steps? Are the hallways and doors, are they wide enough for a wheelchair, for a walker? If she's not using one now, what if, you know, she needs one down the line? Do you have bathtubs? You know, can she get in and out of a tub? Are you going to be able to modify your house? Are you going to be able to modify your bathroom? Do you want to do that? And just using an extra bedroom isn't just it. There's having one more person in the house affects more than one room. You have the bathroom, the kitchen, and kitchen safety, room temperature, noise level, pets, privacy, incontinence. These are, you know, sometimes we don't think about that. Your mom may be thinking, oh, wow, I'm going to be with people. You know, she may be feeling lonely, even though she's not telling you that. And she may think, oh, I move in with you. We'll all be together. But you're working, you know, if you're working, your children are in school, your husband's working, she's still going to be alone. And that's going to make her feel, you know, terrible, because she's not going to think about that until she's actually in the situation. You can say to her, gee, Ma, you know, we all work, or, and, you know, my son has school, and then he has activities after school. We're always running around, and, you know, we don't always eat together. And she may think, oh, no, that's okay. I'm still in the hustle and bustle of a house. But until she actually gets in there and realizes, she's still going to be alone. So that's a consideration. She's not going to see her friends as much. You know, right now your mom's neighbors are helping her out, so most likely one or two of them may be her friends as well. You know, some people that she's close to, so she's not going to be seeing them. If she goes to church, or, you know, you're saying your mom isn't getting out anymore and is just kind of sitting, but, you know, for people, if their parents go to church or they volunteer, they're not going to be able to do that anymore. And then their lifestyle is going to change. Their whole society is going to change. So that's going to make a way for depression to set in. So these are things you really have to think about. You can't make that decision quickly and without thinking of all these things. You can't feel pressure to make that decision, or guilt, or make it out of obligation, because you really have to. It's not just your life or your mom's. You have a husband or a wife, and you have children. You have to realize, how is it going to affect them as well as your mom? And there are different options for maybe moving your mom, if that's something that needs to be done. Maybe she can get help in the home. You know, you have to think about also, let's say you do move her to your home, and then what if she needs help in the home? That's another person coming into your home. So you have to consider that as well. You know, it's not as easy as it sounds. I remember when my mother-in-law, it was the summertime, and she had a lung issue, if I can remember, and she was in the hospital. And to bring her home into her own home, she would have had to have steps going up to her bedroom, and she didn't have central air conditioning. She only had air conditioning in her bedroom. So my husband and I, who have lived alone, you know, we don't have children. We live alone. So we're used to living alone for so many years. So we said, oh, well, we'll just bring mom home by us. That's fine. You know, I always got along very well with my mother-in-law. We'll just have her recuperate in our house. And, you know, my mother-in-law thought it would be fine. That would be great, because I won't be alone. And during the day, she knew we both, you know, were out working. So during the day, I hired, you know, MedX to provide a live-in for her so that this way she still had, you know, she needed care as well. So we set up, my husband kind of had an office suite, and we transformed that into a bedroom for her. So she had her own bathroom, you know, you just walked in to the home and you could go right there. And we thought, okay, oh my gosh, it was the worst thing we probably could have done. And it was only for maybe 3 weeks, if I can remember. But it was the longest 3 weeks for her and us. And you're thinking, well, you know, why? It just, we were on, you know, a schedule. My mother-in-law knew we worked, but she didn't really realize how much we weren't home until we weren't home. And she was lonely. I mean, she had the live-in and they did things, you know, she couldn't really go out and take walks because she was on oxygen, and she, it was the summer, it was hot, and she had, you know, a lung issue, a breathing issue. So, you know, they would get up and, I mean, they'd talk and they'd watch television and they, you know, but she wanted family. So that was tough. And then she couldn't cook, you know, and she would say, I can cook. But then she had this, you know, long oxygen tubing, and she was on a lot of medication. So she wasn't realizing, you know, that she's lighting the stove and the oxygen's right there. And, you know, and the living's like, no, we can't, you know. So she couldn't feel comfortable. She couldn't do what she wanted to do. And it was just, it was terrible for her and for us. And we realized that as we were involved in it, you know. And fortunately, we could bring her home, you know, after the 3 week period. So I want to stress, if you are even thinking about it, you know, moving your mom or dad in with you, wherever they are now, you know, if they own their own home, I wouldn't sell it. You know, I would not do that. I would try it for a period if, you know, if that's the decision you both have agreed to. I would try it for at least 6 months to a year, you know, and see if it works, how you feel, because you really don't know until you're doing it. So I, Ruth, you did naturally what a daughter would do. You know, you say, okay, mom, come and stay with us. You know, you want to protect your mom. That's your mom. She did that for you all these years. So what you did, there was nothing wrong with what you did. And, you know, your mom and both you said, okay, well, we have to talk about it. You know, and there are other options, you know, which we will talk about. Different options. You know, we talk about home care a lot, you know, having someone come in a few hours a day or come in to live with them. There's assisted living. There's, you know, those senior communities. There's a lot of different options that you can think of. This undertaking of moving a parent in with you, that's a big, it's a big decision, and it will affect all your lives. So you really have to think about it. And then if you are set on doing it, like I said, don't sell their home yet, you know, or don't do anything that they can't go back, or you can't make another decision. Just in case it doesn't work out, give it 6 months to a year and try it. I was talking to someone and they about, you know, different options, and they had, I'm sure you've all heard of these elder cottages, you know. I was looking at one called Echo Housing, and it's elder cottage housing opportunity. So what you can do is they're these little modular homes that you move onto your property, and you know, you can remove them when they're no longer needed. So they're, for instance, the size of like a large garage. These particular ones that I was looking at, they're like 450 square feet, and they're 38 inches long and 12 inches wide. So, and they typically have like a living room, 1 to 2 bedrooms, kitchen, eating area, bathroom, and they all come, they're all designed for the elderly. So they're wheelchair accessible. They have grab bars in the bathroom. They're one level. They're energy efficient. Of course, they're not approved in every state. They're just getting approval in different states. I had happened to email this particular company and ask them, for instance, are you approved in New Jersey? And he said, no, not yet. I believe this particular company, they're in New York. So you obviously have to check the state and the municipality that you live in and see if that's something that can be done. But that's just, you know, an idea. So if you want your parents close, that's an idea. So they're not actually in your home, but they have their own, you know, their own house, really, and they can continue to do, you know, live their life the way they do, and you live yours the way you do. And it was this particular company, it was very interesting how they came to be, because the family was always land developers, contractors in the construction business, carpentry business, and the founder had an accident and he was hospitalized and then he had to go to rehab. And he said, there's no way that I'm spending 30 days in a rehab. I want to go home. And of course his family said, but we can't take care of you at home and we're not equipped. The house isn't equipped. So he designed this little house for him on their property. And that's how it came to be. So what he did was he stayed there and he hired a company to provide home care for him because he needed care. So that's how this company came to be. So I thought it was very interesting. And that's just one option among many. So I was also, Ruth, this might make you feel better, I was talking to a woman this week as well who, they had moved from one part of the state to another, and they had moved in with her brother and his wife and his child. They had moved on the main level of a home, and then the particular woman I was talking to, she wasn't married and her mom was alive. So they had an apartment downstairs in the home, a separate apartment. And what happened is, you know, she said to me, my mom, when we moved in, you know, my mom was in her 80s and she was walking and, you know, she was able to care for herself. She said half the time she was caring for me, you know, making my breakfast and lunch, et cetera. And now she's 97, you know, so she now had to move her upstairs because she could no longer go up and down the steps. So she had to move in with her brother and his wife. And now, of course, she's developed dementia, so it's really hard for them to take care of her, and they're trying to decide, you know, of course I suggested that they get care in the home to try that, you know, because she called me and she said, I don't want to put my mom into a nursing home, but I don't know what to do. So I talked to her about home care. But, you know, these things, you know, our parents are living longer, so, you know, you might make that decision, but then you have to think about also the future. So that's just something to keep in mind. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about something that maybe can help your brain feel 10 years younger. I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
My producer just said to me, I have to make a correction, and please forgive me, Echo Housing, the Elder Cottage housing opportunity that I talked to you about. The size of those modular homes, I said, was 38 inches long and 12 inches wide. My producer's like, that's the size of a coffin. He's like, that's not the size. I'm like, oh my gosh. So please forgive me. It's 38 feet long and 12 feet wide, 450 square feet. So that was a little goof. So they're like the size of a large garage. So I think your mom and dad would be happier in that. So, and my producer's like, oh, well, the smaller one's good for my mother-in-law. I'm like, oh, forget that. Sorry about that. Okay, moving on. So working on puzzles can help your brain feel 10 years younger. Dr. Santosh Kasari, who is a neuro-oncologist at John Wayne Cancer Institute, he believes, and I quote, the brain is actually like a muscle. You use it or you lose it. He suggests the more you use different parts of your brain, the stronger the connections between what's being used and the parts of the brain responsible for those activities. He believes that when you don't use your brain very much, it gets weaker. So with his philosophy in mind, research at the University of Exeter and King's College in London conducted this massive online study to measure key brain functions in healthy people 50 years and older. So they collected data from 17,000 people. This was one of the largest online studies going. And they used tests to determine whether humans can maintain brain health by doing certain repeatable activities. And they determined that by habitually working on word puzzles, older adults are able to keep their brains functioning at levels up to 10 years younger than their actual age. They found a direct relationship between the frequency of doing the word puzzles and the speed and accuracy of performance on 9 cognitive tasks. So the performance was consistently better in those who said they did these word puzzles, and their performance improved incrementally with the frequency of doing the puzzles. So there's been a lot of studies linking, you know, stimulating intellectual activity to cognitive functioning. So those aren't new, but this study is unique because of its size, 17,000 people. So in the last several years, we hear a lot about the relationship between how we treat our bodies and brains throughout life and the risk of developing cognitive problems later on. The questions do still remain, though. You know, when in life do we do certain things? What behaviors can and should we do? And how much of these behaviors should we do to reduce our risk? So Dr. Kasari says that one of the most important things for delaying aging of the brain is we have to focus on the modifiable risk factors like hypertension, diabetes, cholesterol, and cardiovascular risk factors. But he also went on to say that we think a lot of diseases are caused by inflammation. So controlling inflammation somehow, you know, whether it's by eating or lifestyle, would probably delay the onset of neurological diseases. So it makes perfect sense, he said, but it's not proven. Preliminary research suggests, maintaining healthy weight, exercising regularly, a diet rich in omega-3 fatty acids are associated with lowering the levels of the amyloid plaques and tangles in the brain. And those plaques and tangles, I don't know if you remember, we talked about that. Those are hallmark classic, symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. We talked about that when we were talking about Alzheimer's. So the research is suggesting also that lowering cardiac risk factors in middle-age adults is just as or even more important than the genes you carry for the risk of developing these amyloid plaques later on in life. Also, getting a good night's sleep. And, we always hear get a good night's sleep, that's good for your health. But, we don't realize that when you sleep, we clean our brain of byproducts and even some toxins, and that includes those amyloid proteins that accumulate in those amyloid plaques. The cerebrospinal fluid moves through the brain, acting as a flushing mechanism. So these were very encouraging studies, and this is encouraging research not only for us, for Alzheimer's disease, for our overall health, and for us, for our children of aging parents in our 50s, 60s, this is all something we need to be aware of and very interesting. And now, talking about sleep, I wanted to just tell you something else that was very interesting that I learned this week. Do we really know how much sleep we get, and are we getting enough sleep? There was a study conducted that tells us how bad a cumulative lack of sleep can be on our performance. Subjects in a lab who were allowed to get only 6 hours of sleep a night for 2 weeks straight functioned just as poorly as those who were forced to stay awake for 2 days straight. So that's really something that's really interesting. And the most interesting part of it was the people who slept for 6 hours a night thought they were doing just fine, but their performance didn't show that. So how this study worked was they took 48 adults and they restricted their sleep to a maximum of 4, 6, and 8 hours a night for 2 weeks. And then they had, of course, this poor subset who were deprived of sleep for 3 days straight. And they were tested every 2 hours on cognitive performance and reaction time. And they had to answer questions about their mood. And they were all asked, how sleepy do you feel? And the subjects who slept 8 hours a night performed the best, had the highest performance level. The people that slept 4 hours a night did the worst. And each day they did worse than the day before. The people who slept for 6 hours held their own until day 10 of the study. And in those last few days of the study, those people that were restricted to 6 hours of sleep a night showed cognitive performance as bad as the people who weren't allowed to sleep for only 2 days straight. So that's something. This also showed that those people didn't realize that they were functioning as bad as they were. So that raises the question, how we cope when we don't get enough sleep, and that people really don't know how much sleep they actually had. This sleep study also showed that people overestimate how much they sleep, that people tend to overestimate their nighttime sleep by about 45 minutes. And for every hour beyond 6 hours that you sleep, you overestimate your sleep by about a half hour. So if you think you're sleeping 7 hours, you possibly may be only sleeping six. So just a bit of sleep deprivation, 6 hours rather than eight over 2 weeks, accumulates to surprising results and makes us wonder how we're even functioning. And my survival tip of the week, I bet you can guess. I want you to start working on word puzzles, and I want you to do them each day for as much time as you can, and I want you to get a good night's sleep. If this week's show was helpful to you, or you know someone who would be helped by it, please tell them about it. They can subscribe to the show using iTunes. You can find links to the topics we just talked about in the show notes for today's episode episode 25, at parentsarehardtoraise.org. I'm here to help you, so please tell me if there's something that's troubling you, something you're struggling with, and I'll try to include it in a future show. Email me at diane@parentsarehardtoraise.org. You can reach me through my website, dianeberardi.com, and you can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterfeit Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week.